so we want to make sure that you come to or are aware that we are going to, as we've done for many years, have the candlelight service on Christmas Eve at 6 p.m. And then our Christmas service will be the 27th. And those of you that have a talent, if you want to do a reading, you want to recite a poem, if you want to dance, if you want to do something, please see me, and we'll gather a list of people that want to participate, as has been our tradition, so we would appreciate that. So, without any further ado, Carol and Deb.
Good morning. I was thinking as everybody was coming in this morning, how my heart just fills up when I see your faces. It's just, isn't it just, we need that, don't we? It's just kind of a special thing when you see somebody's face that you haven't seen for a week or 2 weeks. We weren't here last Sunday, so thank you for providing that little jump of joy in my heart this morning. We're going to stand and sing together the Bond of Love as we all are bonded together. One in the bond of love, we're going to go right into the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. Let's do that again. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. And next we're going to throw in, blessed be the tie that binds. We're all bound together. Thank goodness. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, now as we prepare for Pastor Jay's sermon, we're going to sing Sanctuary. We haven't sang that for a while. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. It is you, Lord, who came to save the heart and soul of every man. With me, Lord, please just open our hearts and our minds today so that we can hear Pastor Jay's sermon and the words that you want us to hear through him as your vessel. And Lord, just prepare us to be the people that you want us to be, and to use us in the ways that you want us to be used, this especially during this Christmas season. Lord, we just thank you and we just praise you for the with thanksgiving, with all that we have been through this past year. It's been difficult, but we're still here, and we're still loving you, and you're still loving us, and we just are so grateful for that. Just be with us through this week, and be with Pastor Jay, and help him to do his best today. In Jesus' name, amen.
So, we are in Romans chapter 12, as you would guess, because we began last week just looking at the first two verses. And the first two verses are preparatory for what follows. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which, by the way, is far more difficult than the Old Testament sacrificial system, which required just the offering of an animal once and for all. We're living, breathing, and wake up like geese in a new world every day, and we have to recalibrate and recommit and rededicate, and sometimes we fail to do that, and so Tuesday may look a lot different than Monday regarding our spirituality. But he's saying he wants a living sacrifice, so that people are watching this animation, this animated life, that's one that's sacrificing itself to the Lord and his will and not ours, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual or reasonable service, your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, or ion, which is the floating mass of thoughts and attitudes and philosophies that are in vogue at any particular time. Don't be conformed to those, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So taking in God's word and being renewed in your mind, causing your mind to be captured by his words. Easier said than done, right? But then he goes in, that's the setup for where we're going to be today, just the next few verses, verses 3 through 8. But there's a curious word that happens next. 4 comes from a Greek word, gar, and it means properly assigning a reason. So it's properly, what will follow the first word of verse 3 is the reason for verses 1 and 2. And it is in the immediate, and so what's going to be shown here is that humility is the immediate effect of self-surrender to God. So he's calling us to surrender our time, our money, our talent, all that we are, and knowing that humility, that is, I will now hold everything loosely in my hands, will be the immediate effect. So verse 3, 4, by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you. Now here's a vaunted, powerful, probably most impactful apostle. And he is saying, I say. He's taking a very light, very gracious approach. He's trying to, in his tone, show his humility as well. He's not demanding. He says, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So what's being talked of or spoken of in these verses is a proper attitude for giving yourself in worship to the Lord, a proper relationship, and proper service to the Lord is all under the magnifying glass here in this passage. So don't think more highly than you should, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. You know, my elbow is very intricate to things I do. I've reached millions of times this way or that way, and my elbow never says, you know, I wish I was reaching. I wish I was on the business end of that reach. I wish I was the one who could touch the object you're not going to pick up. My elbow just simply functions. And we're going to discover in this passage that we each have gifts, various gifts, and they are, some of them are higher than others, some of them are lower than others in our estimation. I want to take you to, just briefly, and we'll bounce right back to this passage, but in Acts chapter 6, a very interesting passage. This is that story about how there was a complaint about the serving of the tables. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And that comes from a word, diaconia, distribution. We also can use the English word ministry. apostles summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the spirit of wisdom, who we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry, diaconia, of the word." Notice that diaconia is the servant in his activity. You're either serving a table, you're either raking leaves at so-and-so's house, or today, hopefully, some of us will help Pam put the manger scene up after Christmas, after the service, out just outside that window. We're going to plug it in right there. That's ministry. What I am doing is ministry, and very often looked at as, well, you know, there he is. He's the speaking part. He's the talker. There's speaking gifts and service gifts. But here the distinction, in using the same word, there's no distinction. If God gave you a ministry that is a service gift, gave you a gift that's just a service gift, that gift is just as integral as what I'm doing. You may think it's, well, I'm just the elbow, but hey, the whole thing goes together as one piece. And so there in the Corinthian church arose jealousy amongst the believers there, and the Corinthian church was about the size of our church when we're at full capacity, which we haven't been in a while, but around 65 people was the Corinthian church. And there were those that were wanting the more showy gifts, and he had to rebuke them from that kind of thought pattern. Anyway, diaconia, service is service. Now back in Romans 12, "For as each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned," the very last part of verse 3, Romans 12. So there's a measure of faith, and he's not referring to saving faith, but the faith that it takes to operate whatever your gift is. If you have a prophecy gift, it's a little different than a prophecy or preaching gift. It's a little bit different than a service gift. But the faith that it takes to stand in that place is what's being referred to. "For as in one body," verse 4, "we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them." So the proper attitude is, I identify what my gift is, or gifts, plural, and I use them unassumingly. I don't put myself forward. I'm not conceited in my deployment of my gift. I do it according to the measure of faith given me. We each are given gifts. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. Now, prophecy here is not, the primary focus is not on prediction, but it's on rather inspired delivery of warning, of exhortation, of instruction, of judging, of making manifest the secrets of the heart, explaining the scripture and forcing a point and hopefully making a persuasive point to bring people back to living in accordance to what God's word would say in a particular passage. In proportion to your faith, do that. If prophecy be your gift, if service, in our serving, proportionately. The one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. one who leads. I'm just going to pick on one person here, and then I won't pick on two or three, and then you'll say, why doesn't he call my name? Just one person. I have noticed over the almost 8 years, 7.5 years, that I've been here that Gil has a gift of leading. That means to preside over, to superintend meetings. He does it with a great deal of aplomb. He does it without, he's not driving us. When he's operating, he's well within his wheelhouse. It's just something that you don't go away from a meeting thinking, you know, I wish he'd, you know, take a powder. But you feel like it was well done. That's because he's operating in one of his gifts. So leading is one of his gifts. And it's really kind of cool to see that. So we're going to look at some of the gifts, and you might say, well, how do I know what my gift is? And I'm going to borrow something from my friend, Mr. MacArthur. He says, ask yourself these 9 questions. He says, present yourself, first of all, number one. Present yourself a living sacrifice. If you're not going to, his point would be, you're not going to discover the gift unless you fully committed yourself and done what you see shown to us in the first 2 verses of Romans chapter 12. Remember last week we looked at a quote from William Booth, who in the mid-19th century, right around 1840 or 50, founded the Salvation Army. And he says, my secret is that God has had all of me. Now, I don't know that I'll ever say that out loud, but he said it out loud. He was obviously taking verses 1 and 2 of Romans 12 to heart. And that's really the secret. The secret is to give yourself fully. So number one is present yourself a living sacrifice. Number two, know you're gifted, because the passage we're looking at says everyone has been given a measure of faith for a gift. So no, don't question, well, gee, maybe I don't have a gift. It's a foregone conclusion that you do. Number three, pray for wisdom. James chapter 4, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, doesn't rebuke you for asking. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, tossed to and fro. Number four, seek nothing. In other words, if the Holy Spirit gives to each one of us severally as he wills, then it's his determination to give us gifts. He decides who gets what gift. Some people are seeking a gift they don't have, and then they step into a role that doesn't fit them. They're not taking a sober measure of what God's given them. Number five, examine your heart's desires. What do you want to do, in other words? What are you drawn to do? Number six, seek confirmation. You know, I was at a meeting, and I tell you, have you ever cut your fingernails too short, or your toenails, and it's like, oh man, why did I do that? And you think, man, now I gotta, for the pain to go away, I gotta wait for them to grow back. I mean, you go, oh man, what a mistake. I was at a meeting at Pastor Bob's house. You met Pastor Bob, and this was in the mid-1980s, and we had what we called care groups. I was the care group leader for the South Minneapolis group, and there was the North Minneapolis person, and there was somebody in the northwestern suburbs. And so the 3 care group leaders are there, sitting in his living room, and the fireplace is going, and the secretary of the church, who also doubles as the secretary for me at my house church, and these were meetings that were like 10, 15 people. And so everybody was in their 20s and 30s, and you would drop the kids off at one house, And then the meeting would happen at another house, and we rotated the house or the person who would be watching the kids. Everybody had kids, or a lot of them did. And so it was a meeting where you teach for 20 minutes, sing for 20 minutes, testify for 20 minutes. And so he asked Kay Toyman, and she's Finnish, so watch out for Finnish people. How is Jay doing? And I'll never forget. If you ever watched a baseball game and you've seen a brushback pitch, the batter's crowding the plate and the pitcher throws it in tight so that the batter steps back, right? Well, let me tell you. She said, and I almost quote her, there's nobody better than him when he's prepared. So I'm thinking, you know, roses, right? And there's nobody harder to listen to when he's not. Oh. And I'm sitting there, and so I decide I'm not going to change my facial expression. And I did. I held together. But this was, I don't know how many years ago. This was the mid-80s. But that stuck with me. When you seek confirmation is start doing the gift, start operating in whatever you think it is, and pay attention to what people say. So what that lady did, obviously, there are better than me, but what she was saying is when he's prepared, he delivers the goods. And when he's not, he's a miserable wretch to listen to. That's what she meant. Okay? And so it's really we just have to listen to what people say. So she was confirming my gift at the same time communicating to me how it doesn't feel good sometimes. I mean that the gift has to be improved. It has to be harnessed. It has to be directed. So listen to people and believe what they say. If people say you're not good at a certain thing, believe them. Don't press the issue. I mean, if you continue to hear a negative, then you should at least say, well, you know, maybe I'm outside of my wheelhouse here. Maybe I should be over here or there. So I've been at this a long time, maybe 45 years, and if you ask me what my gift is Jay Gilbert. What I mean is, I don't think that you have just one gift. I think we have a mixture of a lot of gifts. I know some of you in this room have a gift of giving, you have a gift of mercy, you have a gift of helps, you can teach, it's all mixed in. You have a dominant gift and subordinate gifts. And even if we were all filled, if this was a sanctuary filled with just preachers, we're like snowflakes. Every snowflake is unique. So if Tom Bell is preaching, it doesn't mean that my gift is redundant. Because when I preach, it's going to come from me and have a different effect on everyone than when Tom preaches. And so your gift is the composite of you. The whole color palette's been dumped inside of you. And it's just a matter of what's the dominant, what are the subordinate gifts? And, okay, I didn't finish today. So, confirmation number 7, look for the blessing of God in the deployment of this gift, whatever it might be. Look for the blessing of God. Do people get blessed? They say, I heard an insight today that I didn't know was there. When he came by and heard my story and graciously did XYZ for me, wow, I didn't expect that could happen. This person has a gift of mercy. They have sensitivities. They have the ability to hear hearts, and they have a measure of faith to be a person that operates in the gift of mercy. And the effect of it is a blessing on the recipient. Number 8, serve with your whole heart, total abandonment, with your whole heart. And then last of all, he said, when you think you've discovered what it is, just go for it, just do it. Just go all in. Anyway, the gifts are not all described in this passage, and I wanted to sort of go through what we find in 1 Corinthians 12. So in this particular passage, we talk about the gift of prophecy, preaching that is, service, teaching, exhortation, generosity, leading, mercy. But in 1 Corinthians 12, the list is a little different. I'm just going to read that with you. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. And I have been around many of you and others in the Christian family over the years who just have a word of wisdom on a particular topic. And I suspect that my friend back there, married to the birthday boy, has that gift, wisdom. Don't overuse it on him now in the car, just because I said that. And to another, utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. In another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. Now, it's great controversy in the Christian world about, well, are healings happening today? I think so. In fact, Ann and I were going to a Covenant church in Burnsville, and I probably said this before. It's a big church, 1,200 people, and that was the last church we attended before moving over to Escanaba. And it was just a stale Covenant church. I mean, there was nothing exciting at all. There was nobody raising their hand, nothing going on like that. But every once a month, they had a healing service. And there was a particular prayer prayed for a lady who had a vision problem, and her lens was repaired. And they didn't dance in the end zone, and they didn't start a Marilyn Kuhlman healing ministry, and they just, in a matter-of-fact way, said, well, so-and-so is healed. And they went on about their business as though it was normal for God to do what God can do. And so, yeah, I believe that there's healing. To another, the working of miracles. Do I think miracles happen? Sure, yeah. Miracles do happen. And context is king. I don't know if I don't know how you would operate in miracles today. I think a lot of the miracles we hear about are happening overseas because of God is using miracles more, as he's always done, as signs. When Jesus performed miracles or the apostles performed miracles, they were for signs to confirm the gospel. And I think that we see the greater activity in the working of miracles overseas where a confirmation is needed. The place is so dark and so overrun with contrary teaching that the Lord's trying to lay a marker on. To another, prophecy. to another the ability to distinguish between spirits. So you've been around people that are discernful. They can discern. You've got a spirit of bitterness. You've got a spirit of this or that. And they can discern. Something is off, and they can very often identify what it is. It's a gift. To another, various kinds of tongues. Now, some will say, well, tongues have gone away. And I spent about 3 years in charismatic churches, Assembly of God churches and other charismatic churches. And what I experienced is, here's what I believe. Yes, tongues exist. And some people have the gift of tongues. They pray in tongues. So somebody in a congregation will say, "Oh, I got money, I said, money, I'll put you on my." And then there'll be a moment of awkward silence. And the person often who has said that will feel obliged to then interpret what was said. And my takeaway from it is many times it felt inauthentic. And so you'll find that in this passage he's going to say, I'd rather speak one word of understanding than a word of tongues uninterpreted. So have I seen blessings happen in fellowships like that? Yes, I've experienced situations that can only be described as the power of God being present. But more often for me, I've seen disarray. I've seen illegitimacy in the use of those kinds of gifts. But I do believe they exist. And so I'm parting company with my friend John MacArthur and others. But that's okay. We can still walk down the street of gold. To another interpretation of tongues, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks. So when you were saved, the Holy Spirit's job is to place you into Christ or baptize you. This is not signifying water baptism here. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. Ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would be the body? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. In other words, desire those gifts that would make it, if it's going to be used in the assembly, that would give a clear message and not cause chaos. So attitude is that we should not work out, not operate outside of the measure of faith that God's given us and the giftedness that we have. Our proper relationship to each other is to give honor to those who might be the weaker parts, or maybe even you detect they consider themselves the weaker parts. Proper service is to find out what your gift is, to ask those 9 questions if that's how you wish to do it. The primary thing is to get Romans 12:1-2 in your bloodstream. If you give yourself as a living sacrifice, and it's something you have to work on every day. I have to work on it every day. It's amazingly hard. But focus on that and the rest will come. Because that, as we learn, will have the immediate effect of making you humble. You won't have to humble yourself. That process of Romans 12:1-2 will humble you all by itself and set the palette, set the environment for you to discover just what God wants to do with you. So some people will ask, well, what's the will of God? Whatever the next godly thing is in front of you, do it. And keep doing the next thing that presents itself and just do it. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you've given us gifts, that you've given us a measure of faith to operate in whatever the giftedness is that you've bestowed upon us. Help us to do the very difficult work of offering ourselves, presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, not jumping off your easel, giving entirely our minds to you, giving entirely our spirit to you, our souls to you, our minds, our wills, our bodies, as we learned last week. Help us, Lord, to give the entirety of ourselves to you and learn more quickly what you want to do, therefore. In Jesus' name.
I'm going to close by singing the song, I Gave My Life for Thee. There's no greater love than what God showed us with giving of his son. So let's remember that as we sing. We're going to sing 2 verses. I Gave My Life for Thee.
I gave my life for thee. My precious blood I shed. Let thou
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the giving of your son. There's no greater love than one laying down his life for a friend. So, Father, we just thank you so much that you gave us your son. We thank you for his blood that was shed that covers our sins, and the salvation we get through it is full and free. Father, we just want to serve you, and help us to use our gifts for that. Father, we just pray that we might live today the measure of faith that you give us, and use our gifts that you have given us, that you show us those gifts, and we move forward and activate them. Help us to be part of that body of Christ, that we can be one body even here at church and as we live within the body of Christ. Father, we just pray that we fully present ourselves to service and for you, so we can share that love that you've shown us. Father, we look forward today for the blessings that you give us as we walk in the Spirit. And so be with us as we go from here and again, that we might use our gifts for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.